Please, getting a little late start here. Psalm 130. Psalm 130. We're there last week. That was kind of a kickoff for several things I wanted to say this morning. By the way, God's good whether you like what He did or not. And sometimes God's good. He takes us through some hard times, so we'll see who He really is. Sometimes He has to slap us flat on our back before we realize we need to look up. God's good. God's good. If He wasn't good, we'd already be in hell. We're not, so God's good. He's merciful. He's gracious. And by the way, if you can't be grateful for your salvation, you're not going to be grateful for anything else He gives you either. He gave His only begotten Son to die on the cross and pay for our sins for a shovel full of dirt that has already turned around and done things we shouldn't have done and spit in His face, so to speak, and He saved our soul anyway. I love that part when John, it says He loved them till the end. The night before Jesus Christ died, He was there in the upper room there, and he says He loved them till the end. That was right after Judas. He knew what Judas was going to do. He loved Judas right to the end too. Oh, couldn't how it could it? He's God. He loves. God is love. And God's good. Let's take our Bibles real quick here. I'm going to pray first, then we're going to roll through a lot of stuff here this morning. So hang tight. Here we go. Father, we thank You for the opportunity to be in Your house this morning. Lord, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for the truths that are in it. Lord, forgive us when we kind of turn our back on who You are and what You are. And we can get pretty discouraged and even bitter against You. But how in the world can we be bitter against the one who sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross and pay for our sins? And I think sometimes, Lord, we kind of take that on the side. And really what we want Him to do is to fix our problems here on this side of eternity. And Lord, we got to realize He's got to fix our heart first. And we've got to surrender to You first. And Lord, we got to give ourselves to You first. We've got to become part of the family. You said to come out from among them, be ye separate. Say, Lord, I'll be a father unto You. And all those things. Lord, we need to give ourselves to You. Thank You that though You are a wonderful Father, merciful and gracious. And You're not expecting us to be perfect before you start blessing. I understand that. But Lord, we need to put ourselves in the right frame of mind, put our heart toward You. Now, Lord, I pray that You'll speak to our hearts here through this message. There's some encouragement. Lord, thank You for being our hope. You are our hope. Our hope. Thank You for being our hope. And Lord, I pray that our folks here this morning will understand hope in Christ, what we have in the hope that we have in You. Now, Lord, I pray that we will encourage them even to step out on hope. Brother, again, kind of as Brother Albertini spoke in Sunday school class, that we need to take those steps of faith and realize that You're there. You're already there waiting for us. Our focus needs to be You. We need to trust You and then just go ahead and take those steps toward You. Now, Lord, I pray that our folks will be here. We'll do that. The one here this morning doesn't know Christ as their Savior. I mean, really, truly, know for sure without a shadow of a doubt they go to heaven. Lord, we'd love to have them come to a saving knowledge of Christ. Lord, I pray that You'll bless each one, give each of us what we need. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Hope is not blind, unrealistic, falsely optimistic view of life. Let me say that again. Hope, that the hope that God is telling us about in this book, is not some blind, unrealistic, falsely optimistic view of life. It's not living with rose-colored glasses, not living up in the clouds. Hope is a confident expectation of what God can do and will do. Hope is more than just being pumped up on adrenaline. Hope is a confident expectation. It's more than just being pumped up with some kind of crazy event, trying to get all wound up over some event, some situation, some sports team, some musical group, or whatever it is. Hope is something based on the promises of God. Now, last week we found that we are allowed to have hope because we have a merciful God. You say, well, what do you mean we're allowed to have hope? Listen, we ought to be, as I said a little while, we ought to be in hell. But I have hope. I don't even have to think, I'm not going there because He's paid my debt full and clear. The title for my mansion is all cleared. I don't even have title insurance. It's all written right here. It's all tended to. God has a place for me. He's prepared a place for you. You can have hope. You can have hope based on who He is. Now listen, look at Psalm 130 real quick. It says, out of the depths have I cried unto Thee, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. In other words, he said last week, real quick, we have a problem. He says, we're down, we're in the depths, we're in the bottom, we're looking up, we feel like we can't get any lower than this. Number two, he wants to cry out to God. He wants some hope. He says, I'm hopeless here. Number two, not only do we have a problem, but we saw our predicament last week. Verse 3 says, if thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, who shall stand? In other words, I'd really like to go to God and get this fixed, but then I remember I'm a sinner. Uh-oh. I have no right to go before God. I have no right to be in his presence, much less ask for a favor. To ask for him to do something in my life. That's my predicament. But verse number 4, we have a promise. But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. He says, what good? Listen, he didn't save us to send us to hell. He saved us to show his glory, to have a relationship with us, to work through us. And so if he sends us to hell, what good is that going to do? That's not going to show his glory. That's never been his plan. This is going to sound crazy, but I've been reading back through the Quran. I did that when the 9/11 came in, and I thought, I don't know who these Muslims are. So I read through the Quran, and I've been got into it, and I just gone aside here. I've been reading through it again. What a hopeless, hopeless, hopeless religion. God is this mean and nasty fella who decides, okay, I'm going to bless him, I'm going to throw you into hell. I've never seen such a hopeless, and all they do is talk about fighting. Gonna fight, we're gonna fight, we're gonna fight. Lord's merciful, but we're gonna fight, we're gonna fight, we're gonna fight. It's amazing, awful stuff. Listen, we have a promise. God, with God there is forgiveness. How do I know that? Well, he's faithful and just to forgive us. And the reason I know that's because he paid for all our sins on the cross when he died over 2,000 years ago. He can forgive us because it's already paid for. He doesn't have, I didn't realize Sterling was going to do that. Man, well, you're going to have to go to hell anyway, Sterling. No, he paid for all my sins on the cross. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. It's all cared for. So I have a problem, but I got a predicament. I'm a sinner, but I have a promise that there's forgiveness. And then I had number 4, we had the process. We had the process. He says, verse 5, says, I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. And then verse 6, my soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there's mercy, and with him plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. What's he saying? Instead of going out half-cocked, or going someplace where I shouldn't be, I need to do what God wants me to do. Wait on him. Do what he says I'm supposed to do. Wait for the timing. I don't know the timing. God knows the timing. He makes all things beautiful in his time. Cast all your care upon him. Lay all your burdens down at his feet. Listen, we need to wait on him. He has promised. You say, well, when's it going to come? I don't know when it's going to come, but it's coming. It's the same way as we wait for the blessed hope of his return. We don't know what's going to happen. It could happen any day, but we don't know. It may be 100 years from now, but he's coming. Just as sure as he came the first time, he'll be here the second time. We wait on him because of his word. Verse 5 says, in his word do I hope. I have hope because his word, I have hope. Now, I want you to turn to Psalm 119, if you will. And last week I mentioned those couple things. And I don't know if I'll get through all these this morning, but I want you to see something. Psalm 119, verse 49. You thought, oh my soul, Psalm 119 is going to preach all the way through. We'll be here to Christmas, didn't you? No, we're going to do a couple little spots there. Psalm 119 is all about the Word of God. It's really interesting. It's right smack in the middle of the Bible there. Actually, Psalm 118 is actually go right there, but it's just about in the middle of the Bible. There, it's the longest chapter in the Bible. In fact, it's divided up in little sections. I believe there are 8 verses each, and each of those sections begins with the letter of the alphabet, their alphabet. In fact, each verse begins with the letter that's assigned to that first, like the first one would be the first letter of the alphabet, And it goes, and each verse starts with that same letter. Then the next, it's a wonderful, beautiful piece. It's a magnificent piece. But it's all about the Word of God. Now, I know there's some people who kind of say, you know, you independent Baptists, you just worship the Bible. I don't worship the Bible. But I tell you this, God has given us an amazing, miraculous book. It is the Word of God. It's what God wants us to know. He's put it in writing. We have a more sure word of truth. That's what Peter says. He put it out in writing, black and white. Isn't it nice we have promises in black and white? You know, he put it down in black and white. This is what I will do. So I'm going to show you just three things if I can get to it. Psalm 119, verse 49. It says, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. It's a prayer to the Lord. He said, Lord, remember, mark down. I'm making mention. Remember, Lord. And by the way, Lord knows all those things. But sometimes we kind of need to say it and hear ourselves say it. I know he knows. I know he knows. We're the one with the problem with the faith, not him. But he says, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. You know what? That's exactly what happens to us sometimes. We say, well, I know I'm supposed to hope what God's word says, but I wonder if God remembers. You know what I'm saying? I wonder if it's really real. I know what the word says. I know I'm supposed to hope in it, but I wonder if it's really real. He says, Lord, I don't want you to forget. Let me give the point for number one. Hope in his word gives me comfort. Hope in his word gives me comfort. There are a lot of folks who are running around very uncomfortable. They're not sure what's going to happen. They don't know what their finances are going to do. They don't know what's going to happen with their marriage, their boss, the issues, their health. I don't know what it might be, but they live tense. They live in worry. He says, I want you to understand here, the hope in his word, which doesn't change, which he comes from one who lies not, is my comfort. Romans 8:24 says this. You just listen to it. Romans 8:24 and 5 says, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. We've just said there, what am I supposed to do when he says I'm hoping his word? He says, what do I need to do? Is the process? I need to wait on him. I need to just simply do what he tells me to do while I'm waiting for him to do what he's supposed to do in his time. See, if I get ahead of him, then I'm not hoping in him. I'm hoping in me. Now, if it comes time for dinner, it doesn't do me a whole lot of good to go fix anything myself. I wait on my wife. If I want to eat, I'm going to wait on her. Because she's going to feed me. I hope in my wife if I'm going to eat. Now, I know a lot of folks can take care of yourself. My mother raised a pretty helpless boy. But anyway, when it comes to having what we need from the Lord God, none of us can give ourselves what we really need. We need to wait on him. Our hope, our confident expectation is in him. Look at verse 50. We got back to 49. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. You told me something, Lord, and I started hoping. Now, don't let me down. That's right. Don't let me down here, Lord. I started hoping. Look at verse 50. He says, why? Because this is my comfort. This is my comfort in my affliction. This is my consolation. That word comforter almost means sigh of relief. Whew. Been there a couple times. Have you been there a couple times? Have you ever have one of those days that says, this voice is going to be a biggie? And when it's all said and done, it's kind of like, everything's okay. God's got everything under control. He says, this is my comfort in my affliction. Watch, that word affliction, depression, misery. He says, this is what comforts. This is my sigh of relief in the midst of my depression, in the midst of my misery. You know what it is? Watch, for thy word hath quickened me. He says, your word has caused me to hope. I read this thing, and I thought, you know what? I'm not dead yet. There still may be life. I'm not a dead man yet. I think I've got some life ahead of me yet. It's not all over yet. There's the sun's going to come up in the morning. That's what he says. I wait on thee just as those who wait for the morning. Just as sure as the sun's going to come up, God's going to do what he said he's going to do. Now, it may come up under the clouds, and we may not be able to see where it is. You ever have one of those days you can't even tell? It's so cloudy, so hazy, you can't really tell exactly where the sun is. It's around here somewhere. Well, I guess about this time of day, it must be someplace. Whoa. About this time of day, it ought to be somewhere right about here. Why is that? See, the man who put the God who put the sun in the sky is faithful. And you know what? It's going to be the same place where it's exactly where it's supposed to be. In fact, the meteorologists can go back and do all the calculations, and they can say, okay, right there, move all the clouds, and there it is. Because God's faithful. I wait for him as just somebody who waits for the morning to come. This is my comfort. Listen, I've gotten looking at the water, as Brother John was saying in Sunday school. I've been looking at the problem. Wait a minute, sun's coming up. God's given his word. He's my hope. There's no sense in changing. Why am I depressed? Why am I cast down, O Lord? Hope thou in God. Psalm 42, 43. He said, watch, verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, my depression, for thy word hath quickened me. It's revived me. It's breathed life back into me. It's repaired me. It's restored me. I am living on the hope of what you said is true. Well, that's foolish. Now, wait. I said that from the very, very beginning. This is not some unrealistic, optimistic view of life. This is not living with rose-colored glasses. There's a lot of people who think that as generations have gone by, they just think, well, I'm just supposed to hope. I'm supposed to be happy because, you know, I'm a Christian, and so this is the way it is, and this is what I got to look. And you get weary of doing that because your hope is in your ability to give yourself hope. You know what I'm saying? My hope is in my ability to give myself hope. That's foolish. Now, there's people say, well, listen, you're the foolish one. You believe in some God you can't see. I have his word. By the way, because I believe in a God I cannot see, just like Moses believed him who was invisible. I've told you stories before. God has provided our needs. God has taken care of us. God has done things. And sometimes it's black. It looks like if I take one more step, I'm going into the abyss. And God says, go one more. All right. And you know the funny thing is? The light comes on. I knock on doors and visit folks, and sometimes you get on the porch. As soon as you get near the porch, the light comes on. It's got one of those sensors, you know. Now, I wouldn't even know the light was even there until I decided to take the step and get on the porch. But it was there all the time. I just be willing to take the step. Listen. The word thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. If you're not willing to walk in the light you do have, don't expect God to give you a whole lot more light. Because with the just are to live by faith. If he told you this is a step, now don't go out and step in some place where he didn't tell you to go. That's just stupid. That's hoping in hope. My hope's not in hope, my hope's in him. And by in his word do I hope. So when his word tells me to take this step, and I say, well, I don't see anything there to step on, he says, go ahead. Come on out, Peter. The water's fine. Okie dokie. And out of the boat they come. I hope it gives me comfort. You're real close there. Look at Psalm 119:74. We're going to come back to 50 and 51. But look at 74 real quick. Watch. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right. In other words, your decisions, the way you do things, your call. You make the call, God, and I know because you're who you are, you can make the call, and you're right. Your judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. I'm down. But why did he do that? In his faithfulness, because I have hope in him. He says, I know I'm taking you through a bad spot here, but I'm doing that because I want you to grow in me. Verse 76, let I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be my comfort according to thy word unto thy servant. Lord, you've taken me through some affliction, but you, in faithfulness, you've afflicted me. You've taken me through some bad water. But the fact is, I'm going to take your word on it, Lord. I'm going to take your word on it. I'll be honest with you. We like to take his word on salvation. Boy, he pays for all my sins, and I get to go to heaven. All done deal. Now take his word on the rest of your life. Sometimes I wonder if we really have taken his word on salvation, if we're not willing to take his word on everything else. Now, I'm not saying everybody, I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not saying that's the state for everybody. But, you know, it's real easy to breathe a prayer that someone else helped you do and say, oh, yeah, okay, I'm going to heaven. Well, that same God who's going to get you across the gulf into heaven is the one who's going to get you over this abyss in life. We've got to, listen, he's God. Do you fear him or not? Is he who he says or not? Go back to verse 51. Go back to 51. 49 says this, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Verse 50 says, this is my comfort in my affliction. For thy word hath quickened me. It's given me, breathe life back into me. Verse 51. The proud have had me in great derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. He says, listen, the proud have made me great, have had me in great derision. What's that mean? That word derision means mocking, scoffing, mouthing off. You believe in God. You believe in God. You really believe in God. You probably believe in Jesus too. Woo, we got a holy roller over here. You heard it? He says, they have held me in great derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. The people have been making fun of me, but I am determined to just keep doing right according to your word, what you told me to do, because my hope is in your word that it is right and it's trustworthy. Verse 52, I remember thy judgments of old. So I said, listen, I've looked at your book. Faith comes to hearing, hearing by the word of God. It says, I remember your judgments of old. He said, I've seen what you've done before. In fact, now I'm almost in the category of old. And I've seen some judgments of old in our lives. I've seen some things where he made some decisions and I had to follow him. We didn't know where the next meal was coming from. You think that? I'm telling you. And God provided everyone. God takes care of those who trust in their hope in him. But you see, if we say, I trust in him and I'm waiting, and then we do our own little thing. Every single one of us has done it somewhere, sometime in our life, to one degree or another. We thought, well, I'll wait and wait and wait. I'll give him till Tuesday. If he doesn't do something from Tuesday, then I'm going to have to take care of it myself. You know why you laugh? It's true. We put a lot. Wait a minute. The Israelites were trying to get to the promised land. They had just come out of Egypt, and so they're standing by the Red Sea. They got the Red Sea on one side, the mountains on the other side, and the Egyptians coming up from the rear. And do you know what Moses had the audacity to say? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Wait. He said, my hope and my comfort is in the Lord. Watch me. Look at verse 53. You know what happens while you're waiting? Watch. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. What's he saying?
excuse me, there's a lot of bad people out there. I'm supposed to hope in God, but I don't, I'm sure he knows who my boss is. I'm supposed to hope in God, but I'm not sure God remembers who the president is. I'm supposed to hope in God, but I'm not sure God knows where ISIS is. We don't know where they are. God probably doesn't know either. I'm supposed to hope in God, but he hasn't seen my checkbook recently. I'm supposed to hope in God, but did he ever meet my husband? I'm supposed to hope in God, but I don't think God knows that my parents exist, because they did. If he did, he wouldn't give me such a hard time. Horror. Horror hath taken me. Because there's a lot of bad people. They don't play by the rules. God wants me to hope in him by playing by the rules. But those people don't play by the rules. But you see, they aren't the judge. He's the judge. He makes the rules. He says, it scares me to think about the fact that wicked people do all kinds of terrible things, and you can't necessarily trust them to do what is right and fair. So I'm supposed to do right, but who knows what in the world they're going to do? That doesn't make any sense. The world's a mess. The world wants to hurt me and attack me, and when I realize the reality of that truth, it scares me. It horrifies me, he says. But then I remember that God always has the right judgments. He always makes the right decisions. And then I have hope. And I'm comforted. He breathes life back. We're gonna make it through another day. One day at a time, sweet Jesus. It's all I'm asking from you. Listen, why am I trying to live tomorrow in today's grace? Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. Listen, God will be there. Listen, he's across all, he's eternal. He's already in tomorrow. He already knows what you're going to pray and what you're going to do when you get to tomorrow. So he's already working things out. If you're willing to pray. Well, I just decided that I'm going to start praying. He knew that. He knew that at 43 and a half years old, you were going to start learning how to pray. So he's ready to answer those prayers. But I just thought of it. I know, but God's not that stupid. He knows. He knows. He sees the eternal past and eternal future. Verse 53, horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake the law. Verse 54, thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. You know what he's saying? I just keep reminding myself of how you want to handle things, your statutes, your rules of life. This is the way it works. This is what we do. The house rules. If you're a parent, you ought to, you're raising kids, you ought to establish some house rules. That's the way we work it here. This is the what you do. This is the house rules. But if you see, when I work according to the house rules, according to what the God's promises are, I can hope because I'm right where I'm supposed to be, and I can hope in what he wants me to do. I haven't stepped out underneath the umbrella of hope. And he says, Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. You ever watch the Muppets? They do this stupid, our kids were growing up, and they do this one part, and this guy goes, phenomenon, bum, ba da da da, phenomenon, bum, ba da bum. Phenomenon, bum, ba da 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 da. It goes on and on and on and on and on. You get that stuck in your mind. You're welcome.
The kids had this one that Sherry Lewis used to do. This is a song that doesn't end. It goes on and on, my friend. Somebody started singing it, not knowing what it was, and now they keep, because it is a song that doesn't end. And it goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on as they get it out of here. You take that tape and it disappears, and the kids never see it again. His words are my meditation. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I love you with an everlasting love. Before the foundations of the world, he died for us. The promises, the statutes, you get in the book and you read it. This is how you do it. Okay, that's how you're going to do it. Let it run over. So this is my song in my night. It just kind of keeps going. Watch. Verse 55. I have remembered thy name, O Lord. In the night I have kept thy law. He says, no matter how dark it gets, I just keep reminding myself of who you are and what your word says. Watch, he says, I have remembered thy name. Then he gives the name, O Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Jehovah, the self-existing one. The I am that I am. You created all this. Put it all into motion. Established the boundaries of the sea. He decides when it goes over the edges. Doesn't matter if everybody else out there isn't playing by the rules. It doesn't matter if everybody else is not playing by the rules. I need to play by the rules and wait on him, and he has given me his promises. Well, no one else is doing it. I'm going to miss out. You're not going to miss on anything out on anything, because God will not withhold any good thing. God is not going to withhold any good thing. Verse 56. This I had. Whoa. What? This I had because I kept thy precepts. He says, listen, I have hope because I stayed on track, obedient to your word, and thus I know I'm on your side. And where I messed up, I confess my sins. He's faithful and just to forgive me my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I know I'm on his side, and thus I'm on the same, he's on the same side I'm on, that has given me the comforting hope that I need to make it through another day. Whose house do you live in? Everything's all right in my father's house. You live in his? Or live in the doghouse? I can hope in his word because, and I'm going to stop right there because it's time. I can hope in his word, not because of who I am. Listen, we can't wonder, I'm his favorite. He loves me most. No. I can hope in his word, though I do not deserve 1 ounce of his mercy. By the way, mercy, by its definition, means we don't deserve it. Right? But on top of that, he says, I'll give you grace. Mercy says, I'm not going to throw you into hell. There's no praise in those who, you can't fear God in hell. So there's no praise of a soul in hell. I'm not sending you to the pit. I want to do something in your life. So by mercy, he keeps us alive. And by grace, he uses us for his glory. I know I don't deserve it, but I can hope in his word.
because I get to apply that word to my life, because in His mercy He kept me alive. He has saved my soul. There's forgiveness with the Lord. Now what I need to do is simply wait on Him and do as He has told me to do. That's kind of comforting. Amen. What about all those people who don't play by the rules? Doesn't matter. My God's bigger than your God. Wrong tune. But He is. Our God's bigger than the world's God. Greater is He that's in you than He's in the world. And in His faith. So why I've been in some trouble? In His faithfulness He hath afflicted us. You go a little further down. I'm like, Psalm 75. Anyway, 80 something. It says Psalm 119. It's in that same one. He said, in thy faithfulness He has afflicted me. He says, in faithfulness thou hast afflicted me, because now I keep thy statutes. You know why He wants me to keep my statutes? So that I will continue to wait and hope in Him. So the affliction, He didn't say, oh, let's see whose day we can mess up today. Let's see whose life we can give a hard time. Oh, what's this? Yeah, let's see who we want. Hey, Peter, which one you want to zap today? No, He doesn't. He's not an arbitrary God. Again, that's the one out of the Quran. Mess. He's not an arbitrary God. He says, in faithfulness, He says, I took you through some tough times because I want you to learn my statutes. Because if you learn my statutes, then you will wait, not get ahead of me, and you will see what I can do. Amen. And when you can see what I do, then you'll hope in me. Amen. And the more you hope in me, the more you will trust me for the next step, and trust me for the next step, Amen. And trust me for the next step. Amen. And all of a sudden, life becomes comfortable. Because of His word, I have comfort. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word. Thank you for the promises you have given us, the truths that are in it. Lord, because of your mercy, you don't just break us down just because we didn't walk in your word, but Lord, you give us time. You sometimes let us go through some affliction. Probably every one of us has gone through that affliction somewhere along the way, some more than others, but I'm sure we all have. Lord, you did that for us to get our eyes back on you. Just like old Peter began to slip, the horror of things outside his control was taking him down and was almost under. But good old Peter didn't try to run back to the boat. He looked back at our Savior and took the Savior's hand and was delivered. Lord, there's probably some folks in here this morning that need your hope. They need to see your face, speak to their heart. Heads are bowed and their eyes are closed.